Dear Heavenly Father, as I share your word today, I pray that you will be open, that you will open the hearts of everyone here to hear and receive your word. May it not be I who speaks, but you who speaks through me, so that you may receive all the glory due your name. Amen. So, have you ever wondered what we will do in heaven? It's an interesting question that I myself had never gone into much depth with until last year, when I was invited to write a paper for our school's liberal arts symposium. And it's that paper that I have adapted for today's message. And thus, if it sounds a little essay-like, my apologies. The question is worth looking at, for it is in heaven that we will spend most of our existence. And thus, preparing for that by developing and strengthening our giftings and talents during our life here on earth, that will yield the best results for us and for God's kingdom. Now, some of what I share here will be speculative, taking what we know from God's word and from a couple of authors wiser than me, and attempting to draw from it what life in heaven will be like. And not while everything can be verified, I trust that we can sift through what has been given to us and still come to a conclusion of some sort. I can promise that if you are like me, the study into this will illuminate some ideas that you have possibly not yet encountered, but will end up exciting you for the life to come. But before we can look at what we will do in heaven, we need to look at what the new heaven and the new earth will be like, and what we will be like. While some people have the view that in heaven we will just be disembodied spirits, floating about in clouds, playing a golden harp, the truth of it is quite different. In Revelation 7 verse 9, it says, "And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." Now, how could John see that the great multitude came from every people group on earth unless our racial identity was still part of us? And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul tells us that the believer has become a new creation. Here, Paul uses the word kainos to mean new. The same word is used in Revelation 21 verse 1, where John describes a new heaven and a new earth. Therefore, we can assume that the new earth will be the same as the old earth, in the way that a new Christian is still the same person he or she was before. Changed? Yes. Different? Yes. Better? Yes. Redeemed and restored? Yes. In the new earth that we will inhabit, all that was wrong with the world and us will be gone. And the perfect place and bodies that God has designed for us will be present. We will finally be living the way that God has always intended us to live. So my first point in helping us to understand what we will be doing in the life to come must be to show that who we are as an individual is still the same. For then albeit redeemed and restored. For then the skills we have learned and the character we have developed here in our first stage of life can be transferred to the life to come. Philip G. Ryken, in his essay, Liberal Arts in the New Jerusalem, states, "We will still have the unique personality that makes us who we are, including the gifts that God has given to each one of us, only heightened because we will be uncorrupted by sin. We will still enjoy an embodied existence in a physical universe, only transformed because God will fill the new heavens and the new earth with his presence." We can assume from this that what we do here on earth can positively affect us in eternity. Matthew 6 verse 20 tells us to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But are these treasures just a bigger house for us to live in, or a seat closer to the front when we all worship Jesus? or as what we can store up for ourselves, the development of the characteristics of God in our lives as we go about our daily activities. Do we pray, give, serve, listen to, and help others? In doing so, we are employing what we have learnt about the character of God and have started to graft that into our daily habits, thus changing us in ways that will be able to glorify God and therefore build something of eternal worth. Jesus states in John 5:17, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." It would stand to reason then that we are to work in the life to come, just as our Heavenly Father is. Studies done by researchers have consistently shown that people who are unemployed are less happy than those who are employed. Even Adam, back before the first sin, was commanded to work, as stated in Genesis 2 verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So it shouldn't surprise us that work is ingrained into who we are as people. And by work, I don't mean laborious, monotonous work, but fulfilling work that gives us a purpose, where we know we are making a difference. And in Revelations 21, verse 5, talking about the time after our world has passed away, it states, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" This word "making" is not "I have made," but instead suggests that there is ongoing work occurring in heaven. Therefore, the second point I want to look at is what work, what activities will we be doing in heaven that we will need skills for that we can hone here on earth? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels?" And in Luke 19:17, Jesus states to the servant who invested a mina and received 10 minas back, "Well done, my good servant," his master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small manner, take charge of 10 cities." We are therefore called to learn good judgment here on earth, as well as critical thinking and problem-solving skills in order that we can judge better. And to rule cities, well, that's going to involve communication skills, research skills, adaptability, creativity, innovation, and intellectual curiosity about the things we do not yet understand well, to do a job that honours both God and our fellow heavenly inhabitants. And maybe we're not good at those things yet. But if we make it a daily habit not just to read our Bible and pray, but to also admire God's created world around us, to be curious about it, and then to explore a part of it that catches our attention, then we will have started the journey that will eventually lead us to be able to do the job that God will call us to do in the life to come. Another activity that we will be able to do is to worship God through song. Revelations 14 verse 3 states, "And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." While there are many verses in Revelations that talks about singing, this verse also adds two key phrases. The first phrase mentions a new song, and the second phrase is about learning this song. From this, we can deduce that there is still learning going on in heaven, which is a skill we can learn here on earth. We can develop here on earth. And in addition to this, we can speculate about the origin of this new song. Did God write it? Or was it an angel? Or did a redeemed human write it? I personally believe it was the latter. There have been many, many songs written to God by people who have been prompted to praise, to write something that will praise, worship, and glorify our Heavenly Father. If we are the same individuals with the same giftings and talents that in heaven that we have on earth, then it stands to reason that God will allow those people to continue writing new songs that will glorify Him. And this leads me to my next point. What activities will we do in heaven that will fulfill the dreams and longings that God has given to us here on earth? We have all felt a deep desire to do or to be something we know that we can honor God in. However, for some reason, whether due to age, circumstance, or an accident, those dreams, those longings have been pushed aside, unable to be fulfilled. A common version of those dreams is that of parenthood. Yet due to medical issues or just not being able to find a spouse, that dream can be unfulfilled, leaving a question of why God has put that desire so deep inside our heart. And we know that one of the things that God can help us be is not just be a good person, but to be a good spouse and a good parent. Yet, why would we have need of those skills if you can never raise a child? Randy Alcorn, in his book Heaven, talks about the fact that he thinks when we get to heaven, we will be at an age where growth has stopped, but degeneration has yet to become. So roughly our late 20s to early 30s. Yet in Isaiah 11, it talks about a world where the wolf will live with the lamb, how a little child will lead a calf and a lion, how an infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and a young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. This ties directly into Isaiah 65, where he is talking about the new earth and the new heaven, and once again the wolf and the lamb are together. So why does it seem that there are children in heaven, and what does that have to do with what activities we will be doing in heaven? Alcorn asks, is it possible that children, after they are resurrected on the new earth, will be at the same level of development as when they died? If so, these children would presumably be allowed to grow up in the new earth. And believing parents then would presumably be allowed to see their children grow up and likely have a major role in their lives as they do so. And if these children arrive in heaven at the age they passed, or for the unborn as infants, and for some of them not having believing parents, then we will need a lot of people who have a God-given desire to raise children to look after them. In the life to come, I believe that our Heavenly Father will let our God-honoring dreams and longings to be fulfilled and lost opportunities to be regained. I want to repeat that point. I believe that our Heavenly Father will let our God-honoring dreams and longings to be fulfilled and lost opportunities to be regained. This is why we have these longings in us, but are confused as to why they are not being fulfilled. Because it is in the life to come that we will get to exercise the creativity, imagination, intellect, and skills befitting beings created in God's image, manifesting God's attributes as we fulfill what God has asked us to do. And it is not just parenthood that I believe we will do, but all sorts of things. People who have dreamed of being explorers, inventors, artists, craftsmen, entertainers, writers, astronauts, actors, among many, many other things, but have never been able to, will finally be able to do all these things, and all to glorify God through it. And it's here on earth that we can develop the skills to do these well, even if it's just an academic knowledge of it. Because in the life to come, There will be a whole new heaven and new earth to explore, and we Christians will be exploring and sharing new ideas and discoveries with our delighted Heavenly Father. Now, how do we respond to someone who says that in heaven we will only have spiritual bodies and we will be given everything that we need? Well, let us look at Adam and then of the resurrected Jesus. Adam came into the world with a physical body, but he did not know everything. He was given language, but he had to name the animals himself. So we can assume that when we become clothed in our heavenly, in our perfect bodies, we will both be given a top-up, so to speak, but still be able to develop skills and knowledge further. And Jesus, when he appeared to his when he appeared after his resurrection in his new glorified body, he both appeared and suddenly and disappeared suddenly to his disciples in the locked room and on the road to Emmaus, indicating new abilities in a resurrected body. But Jesus also ate some fish and told his disciples, "Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." So we can assume that in a resurrected body, we will still have flesh and bones and be able to do the things like eating that we currently do. It is just that our bodies will be better than the ones we currently have. In addition to this, how do we know that we really will be able to do all different kinds of work, like being a craftsman or a scientist, etc.? Interestingly, the very first time God's Spirit fell upon a human, in Exodus 31, 2-6, it was not to preach or prophesize, but it was to make artistic design and to engage in all kind of craft. See, I have chosen Beazel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skills, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of craft, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kind of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. I have given skill to all the craftsmen. From this, we can see that part of God's character is craftsmanship and designing. Making special note of that last verse, where it states that the ability is given to the craftsman. And from this I conclude that whatever giftings God has given to us, and whatever skills we have chosen to work on, these will be used and enhanced in heaven, because we will still have need of those abilities. So to conclude, I would encourage you to rejoice. Why? Because God has filled you with skills, talents, dreams, and longings that he wants to use in his new heaven and new earth. And by working on those here on earth, you will bring glory to God both here and in the life to come. So today I want to encourage you to foster an intellectual curiosity about a broad range of ideas, to pursue critical thinking, and practice creativity and innovation in an area of life you are passionate about, and to see what amazing things God will do in your life and in the life to come. Let us pray.